This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And on this Saturday morning now, we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. We got all sorts of cancellations. They're all posted on the website at WSMIRadio.com. And David has the complete list in front of him, so maybe he can single out the sporting events that have been canceled for today. And we'll get that to you here in just a few moments. But the big news in terms of high school sports outside of just basketball, which obviously we'll get into, the IHSA announced earlier, it was this week or late last week, that they have instituted a pitch count for high school baseball at 105 pitches through a regulation 7-inning game.
Regulation 7-inning game and, what, 3 days rest or 4 days rest? What was it?
If you throw 105 pitches, I believe it's 4 days rest.
4 days rest, so, all right. So we knew this sort of thing had been talked about for years, and we figured it was coming. Well, they pulled the trigger on it and made it happen. So, and I think you have to take a look at a lot of the major league picture, major league baseball teams. They watch the pitch counts very, very closely. They see how many arm problems there are, and quite frankly, I'll be honest with you, 105 pitches, awful lot of pitches for a high school kid.
That was my initial thought was, in Major League Baseball, when they get to 100 pitches, they start to have conniptions about so many pitches for a professional ball player. So I was surprised that they set the limit at 105. I don't know how they came to that number, but I remember Carl and I did a regional game last year in Gillespie, and Gillespie was playing Dupo. And I don't remember the exact number of pitches that this kid from Dupo threw, but it was north of 140.
Mm-hmm. We've all seen games where there's, you know, extra inning games and kids have pitched 12, 13 innings and that sort of thing. And now that will not happen. And there's always been a pitch count, by the way, for the state tournament finals, whether you've been at the junior high level or at the high school level. But that's not until you get to the finals, on the championship weekend. So now, the regulation is 105 pitches, and I guess, according to what we understand, that each coach is responsible for taking care of the pitch count, and then they're supposed to get together every once in a while.
After every even numbered inning.
Okay. And compare notes, so.
And then if there's a discrepancy, like say Gillespie was playing
Staunton.
Yeah. And Gillespie had 86 pitches for their hurler, mm-hmm. and Staunton had 84 pitches, mm-hmm. they'd split the difference and call it 85.
Okay.
And go on that. And then if it winds up where if there's a half number involved, round up.
Round up. Okay. So there you go. So that's kind of a significant, I think, issue for high school sports that pitch count has come into being here beginning this spring.
And you've pointed out that a lot of the coaches already keep track mm-hmm. of that, but it was more just for their own personal information. Now, with it being an actual rule, it'll be interesting to see how that will impact. And based on how many pitches you throw, like if you throw the max 105, it's 4 days. But if you throw I don't remember the exact number. I'll try to find it here. But like say between 85 and 100, I think it's 3 days rest.
Right.
So it's based. There's a scale.
And you know, having to keep track of that is just one more thing that the coaches are going to have to do is keep track of how many pitches on what day were thrown, and that sort of thing. And the thing that I find that could be troublesome, I guess, perhaps, for lack of a better term, is the fact that in some of our small schools, you just don't have that many pitchers. And you know, in years past, you've had to depend on two or three guys to do basically all the pitching. And that may force some decisions to be made about finding some additional arms to toe the rubber. So.
Yeah, very rarely does one of our area teams have too much pitching.
Yeah. Very rarely does a Major League Baseball team that spends gazillions of dollars have too much pitching. Yeah. It just doesn't happen in the game.
No.
And no matter what level. So.
So that'll come into play for the baseball season coming up this spring. Of course, we're flat right in the middle of basketball season right now, and Mother Nature played a factor last night. A lot of the games last night around the area were postponed. And David, we've got more canceled for today.
Yes, we do. The Hillsborough boys basketball from the Jacksonville shootout is canceled
today.
I don't know if they're still having the shootout.
I think it's been canceled out.
Yeah, they probably won't make that up.
Okay. Either way, Hillsboro will not be playing in it. Let's see. The Carlinville boys middle school basketball versus Greenfield is canceled. Carlinville High School girls basketball versus Staunton is canceled. And Carlinville High School boys basketball versus Pena is canceled. And that's all the sports we have going on this evening in the area that's canceled for today. So far.
So yeah, so far that's the key there. And every cancellation that we've received into our radio station is available on our website at WSMIRadio.com.
And now, and if you're not familiar with what's going to happen as far as the weather is concerned, it's supposed to warm up just a bit, I guess.
For a while.
And then all of a sudden, somebody's going to open the deep freeze door and whoosh.
Well, the wind's going to shift and start coming from the northwest.
Yeah, instead of out of the south, and we're going to get this northwesterly blast, and it's supposed to drop.
It's supposed to be single digits through the night.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's high is supposed to be single digits, I think, like 9. Yeah.
And like 0 for tomorrow night.
Yeah. So, you know, it's wintertime, and this is usually the county tournament week kind of weather, though.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, middle of January stuff.
I mentioned to Dave the other day when I was reading the weather, and it was just so nasty. The first weekend of the football playoffs, it was like 80 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That wasn't that long ago.
I remember sitting out there and getting sunburn on my face. Yeah. Yes, at the North Mac. Yeah. Yeah.
How quickly it can change.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
We do have a high school game on the docket for tonight, and it's a good one. The Route 16 rivalry, Hillsboro traveling to Litchfield and girls high school basketball. Hopefully, they'll be able to get that ball game in. Time will tell. If they play it, we'll have it live 7:30 here on FM 106. We'll stream it at WQSMIRadio.com. And you're talking about two of the best players in the area, Sammy Matouche for Hillsboro, Abby Brockmeyer for Litchfield, and that will be a heck of a ball game.
Tremendous ball game. It usually is a tremendous ball game no matter who the team members are and the records and that sort of thing, because you've got Hillsboro versus Litchfield and how many times over the years, you know, the great rival games doesn't make any difference what the records are.
I think Hillsboro's 10-1, Litchfield's 9-1 going into the game tonight.
Yeah, so.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's good. There were people early in there says Litchfield's not going to be, wouldn't be 9-1 at this point.
I was one of those people.
And I said, don't know.
And their one loss was to Mount Olive.
Yeah.
Who's been really good.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mount Olive's been, they're so quick.
Yeah.
Mount Olive. You know, you got Kernich out front, the head of that defense. He's just a pest out there.
And that class, that good group of girls, they're seniors this year, so they really want it now. I mean, this is their last chance, so we'll see.
Yeah. See how it works
out. Had a good volleyball season. They're posed for basketball.
Monal's issue, though, to me, is going to be the same that it's been the last few years. They got no depth.
That tends to be a problem.
And you get into postseason play. People get in foul trouble.
Yeah.
People have off nights. They don't have a JV team.
Yeah. It does. That's, you know, one of the factors that plays into it. So, yeah.
You look at teams that go deep, whether it's boys or girls, small school or big school, very few of them or five-person teams, or even six-person teams.
8, 9 at a time.
Got to have that type of rotation. Yeah. You just do.
You have to be able to bring some legs off the bench and give you some decent time.
And even if it's just a couple of minutes, couple of 3-4 minutes, it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, but a long season yet to go.
A lot of basketball to be played.
And, of course, the Carlinville Holiday Basketball Tournament starts a week from Monday. On the 26th, and we'll have some coverage in the evening for the Carlinville tournament, and of course championship night, which is always a terrific night when you have the girls championship followed by the boys championship, and that's on the 29th, isn't it?
Yes,
I think so. Yeah. So.
And with Christmas being on a Sunday, it'll be four straight days.
And that's it. That's the thing. Who's going to have the stamina for four straight days? And that's one of the things I like about Christmas tournaments when you get four straight days and you play four consecutive nights. That's kind of neat, I think.
It's a good thing high school kids don't get tired.
Yeah. Well, they do get tired. That's the thing. They just don't get as tired as the older folks.
Oh, boy.
That's all.
That's the truth. That is the truth. Fighting Illini basketball tonight as well. They're up in Chicago to take on BYU. That'll be a good test for the Illini live at 7:30 tonight on 105.3 The Ox.
And BYU is one of those programs that's, pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Illini have had their moments where they have looked absolutely terrific when they were at home a week or two ago, and then at times they do dumb things, but that's the nature of basketball anymore.
They had that two-game stretch right around Thanksgiving, the bad home overtime loss to Winthrop where they had a lead and blew it.
That's,
and then
that's the one that got away.
I think it was that got away.
Three losses in a row.
It was. Yeah, but the Winthrop loss was bad. Then the Thanksgiving Day debacle against West Virginia where they just wet themselves. Yeah. And then they lost to Florida State the next day, but they played much better in that game. But the Winthrop loss and the West Virginia loss, like if they wind up on the bubble in March, those two games could very well keep them out.
They're going to bite them. That's going to bite them. Yep.
Well, what's unfortunate for them is their first half of the Big Ten schedule is brutal. I know the Big Ten schedule is usually brutal anyway, but there's just... It looks bad.
Yeah, they don't got Penn State, Nebraska, and Rutgers anywhere in the first part
exactly,
of the schedule.
Yeah, the first eight games, none of those three teams appear, and so it's going to be a test.
Well, let's see. See, you throw the ball up, let's see what happens. That's all you can do.
But, you know, we're talking about depth for high school. The Illini are healthy now, and they've got more depth than they've probably had at any point in John Gross's era.
Well, and this has been the bugaboo for the Illini. Part of the bugaboo for the Illini in recent years is that they couldn't stay healthy. And, you know, you get one kid back and another goes down. And you know, I don't know when the last time Gross actually had a starting five that was truly a starting five that he wanted.
Well, and they're getting
probably his first year.
Yeah.
They're getting another transfer player back today who had to sit out the fall semester.
Oh, okay.
Because of whatever
transfer
rules, so he's back today, so that'll be another player to add to the piece.
Semester's over,
I believe so. Yeah, so that's fortunate for them. So it's depth.
So anything like a free agent, like you know, put on waivers or
I don't know how that
rule
works.
Acquisition of some sort.
I don't
sort.
Know how the transfer rules work. I think it's dumb personally because you have the coaches who can leave willy nilly and do what they want, but then the players have to sit out a year.
Well, welcome to the NCAA.
That's right.
There are extenuating circumstances, obviously.
You know, they could spend gazillions of dollars on warm-ups and everything else, but if the kid's hungry, you can't buy him a hamburger, right?
Nope.
That was always one of Rick Majerus' biggest beefs. Like, I can't buy the kid a pizza or a cheeseburger. He's hungry. He's got no money.
Well, I remember back when the Ohio State football team a few years ago, the six players who got suspended, one of the wide receivers, Devere Posey, he was suspended already. But he was working an event for charity, you know, volunteering, where he was, you know, waiting tables. And this guy left him a tip, but it was too much. So he got suspended the rest of the season.
Oh, wow.
That's
so like, really? You know, and that's the one thing that I've railed on the NCAA. And really, athletes in big-time college sports should be paid because it's the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they should be. Let's just be honest.
Billions of dollars are being made.
Billions and billions of dollars are being made off of student athletes. Supposedly student
athletes. Students.
Athlete students, yes.
Let's be honest.
That's especially football. I mean, football is just absolutely ridiculous.
Football and men's basketball are the two big ones. And it would have to, you know, if they do ever get to where they're getting paid, it'll be their payment will be based on how much money the sport is making. So obviously the collegiate diver is not going to make as much as the football player from Alabama.
Sure. But
that's just the way it's going to be.
When you're involved in, you know, the video games and everything else, it's obscene.
They stopped the video games. They don't make those anymore.
That's true.
They stopped making those.
Yeah, that's right.
You used to love those college football games like in college. Like, no names, but you knew exactly who they were.
Quarterback number 15. That looks an awful lot like Tim Tebow.
That's weird. That is weird.
The same haircut and everything.
Imagine that. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. A full list of the cancellations into our studios available at WSMIRadio.com. When we come back, we'll dive more into the pitch count for the IHSA. We'll let you know how many pitches, how many days of rest, all that type of stuff. We'll do that following these messages on Sports Saturday.
Back to Sports Saturday on this Saturday morning, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. And hey, we can't go any further in the show without welcoming David back
to
Sports Saturday.
Thank
Had
you.
Some paternity leave. Congratulations, buddy.
Little, pretty big event in my life.
Slightly big.
Just a little bit.
And yes, one day you will get more sleep.
One day, perhaps 20 years from now.
But and Courtney will get even more sleep.
Yeah, we'll see.
Down the line, yes.
Someday.
Hopefully.
We'll see. But yeah, it was a great day, December 1st it was, and it's been great since. We have two kids now, very small, so it's fun.
You got a pitcher and a catcher there.
I do, yeah, absolutely. And
them ambidextrous, Dave.
Yeah, and then 40% of a basketball team.
There you go. Okay. Here's a question for you, Tim. If you're ambidextrous as a pitcher, How would this stuff apply to you?
With the IHSA pitch count, that is very interesting.
Just thought I'd throw that out there.
And there is a guy who's been in the big leagues as of last year who does that.
Yeah. But they've just now like started imposing regulations on him. So it's probably going to take some time for high school to catch up on that.
Well, I'm talking about pitch counts. If you throw, you know, X number of pitches right-handed, are you going to be allowed to throw X number of pitches left-handed and forget the fact that you use your right hand?
I think you can probably come back the next day.
I would think you would have to be, wouldn't you?
Would you?
I would think so.
Well, I don't know. Are there any provisions in the IHSA bylaws? That's what I'm saying.
I think they left that out of their bylaws.
See, okay.
You're going to have to add that one in.
The Vendetti clause.
It'll eventually happen.
It will.
Oh, yeah. Somewhere along the line. Yeah.
So the IHSA has instituted a 105 pitch count limit for baseball starting in the spring of next year. If you throw 1 to 30 pitches, the next day you can throw 90 pitches.
Okay.
And then after one day of rest, you can get up to the max of 105 pitches. If you throw 31 to 45 pitches, the next day you are not eligible to pitch at all.
Okay.
After one day of rest, you can throw 90 pitches. And then after 2 days of rest, you can throw 105 pitches. That is for the 31 to 45 pitch mark. Now, if you get up to 46 to 60 pitches, you are not eligible to pitch the next 2 days. Then after 2 days of rest, you can throw 60 pitches. After 3 days, it's 75. And then after 4 days of rest, you can go to the max of 105. 61 to 75. Stay with me now.
Okay.
Stay with me now.
I'm taking notes here.
61 to 75.
Because I know there's
going to
be a pop
pitches.
Quiz at the end of this
exactly
thing.
Exactly right. You're not eligible to pitch for 3 days if you throw 61 to 75 pitches. Then after 3 days of rest, it's 75. And then after 4 days, you can get up to the full 105 pitches. Now the last range is 76 to 105 pitches, and that means you are not eligible to pitch for 4 days. After 4 days of rest, 90 pitches. After 5 days of rest, 105 pitches. I like to quibble about things. That seems like a big range, 76 to 105.
It is. I mean,
if you throw 76 pitches, you cannot pitch for 4 days. And we don't keep track of pitches when we do ball games, but I would guess that most high school pitchers throw more than 76 pitches in a game.
I think it depends on the team. And the number of arms you have available. There have been teams in the past where pitchers will pitch maybe four innings and then you'll bring somebody else in if you have the arms. But again, the question is, do you have the number of arms? So here's another question for you, Tim. Okay. You're at 104 pitches.
Yep.
Okay. Or you're at 105 pitches according to somebody's scorebook, somebody's record keeping.
Okay? I think I know where you're going. I think I know the answer.
And there's two strikes on the batter, two outs in the bottom of the seventh inning.
You're allowed to finish the batter that you are currently facing if you reach the limit. Then after that, you must come out.
After that, you're done. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Our buddy Darren Deneve just texted me and says he knows a high school baseball coach in Illinois whose son is an ambidextrous pitcher.
There you go.
He won 10 games left-handed and 7 games right-handed last year.
Cool.
In that ballpark.
And again, how will these rules affect pitching right, pitching left? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Inquiring minds want to know. I don't inquire about much, but that's when.
Right. But there you go. So maybe the IHSA is going to have to come up with that stipulation because we've got a young man in Illinois who fits that profile.
Yeah. Cool.
Who's that?
Were you not paying attention, David?
I was on the phone.
Oh.
I was taking another cancellation, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Which North Mac High School and Junior High sporting events today canceled.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll have more details about it whenever I go check the computer with the specifics about that, but the North Mac High School and Junior High sporting events today canceled.
There's going to be a lot of stuff canceled today.
It's going to be a nasty day.
This is one of these weekends you go, oh, geez.
But you know what?
Yeah,
it's December. Just a little more than a week away from Christmas, so it does happen.
Yeah.
But you know what? It'll probably be like 95 degrees by Christmas Day.
Sunshine
everywhere.
It is Illinois, yes. It is. It's extremely possible.
Yes.
Yes. Thunderstorm warnings.
I hope, boy. It was a few years ago, it was like 50 degrees on Christmas.
Yeah.
With a rare thunder snow.
Thunder snow. Been through those before. Yeah.
Darren just sent me an updated text. He says that the ambidextrous pitcher is subject to the same rule. Left-handed, right-handed, does not matter. A pitch is a pitch.
A pitch is a pitch.
According to Darren Zanini, the athletic director.
Boy, I would have some real problems if I was an ambidextrous pitcher. because especially I disagree with that. I don't think that's...
If you spent one day pitching the whole arm and the next day you couldn't pitch at all with the other arm.
Right. Yeah. It does seem odd.
And I think that's probably...
Who would ever think you would have to think about something like that?
Well,
what an impressive athlete to be able to pitch with both arms.
That's why the rule book has hundreds of pages in it. Because who would have thought that we needed to worry about that? Well, we do need to worry about that. Okay. I just thought
it was interesting.
I just thought it was an interesting concept.
It is.
And yet, with softball, there seems to be no restrictions. There are no restrictions.
Never has been, though.
Never has been, and probably will never be until somebody comes up with some sort of evidence that maybe there is a fatigue factor.
Yeah. And even when there was
a stress factor with softball pitching.
And even when there wasn't official pitch counts for baseball, you think back to like summer league baseball. Yeah. You never saw baseball pitchers pitching back-to-back days, even, at the youth levels. But you'd see a softball team, they'd play three games in a day, and they'd have the same pitcher out there all three games.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, the arm motion is so different. I mean, at least it's a little more natural with the underhand delivery as compared with the overhand throw where, you put stress on your shoulder, you put stress on the rotator cuff, you put stress on the elbow, the wrist, the whole.
Yeah, not that softball pitchers never suffer arm injuries, but you just don't hear about it.
Right,
it's not nearly as common as baseball arm injuries.
Yeah, so. Okay.
But like with any rule, there's kinks to be worked
out,
adjustments will be made. But I like the direction that the
IHSA
is going here and implementing the pitch count. People are always going to have things to complain about and quibble about.
Sure.
But
I'm not complaining. I was just throwing that out there to ask a question.
You.
Yeah. And I'm sure the IESA will probably implement some sort of similar type rule for regular season junior high baseball and softball.
Yeah.
Or junior high baseball rather.
But my first thought was when I heard the pitch count, I was like, oh, that's a good idea. And then 105, that just seems like a lot of pitches.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot.
But when you're allowed to schedule darn near 40 games a year. Now, granted, a lot of those do get rained out in the spring, but a lot of times you end up with a lot of baseball games to play and very few arms to pitch. And I don't know, sometimes you may have to dig deep to find a pitcher, and that means I think home plate umpires are going to have to learn to expand the strike zone.
You got Mack Truck strike zone.
Yeah,
I remember Litchfield a number of years ago had a good baseball club, had a great record early, and they scheduled a bunch of games thinking, some of these are going to get rained out. Well, none of them got rained out. And they ended up playing like 12 games in 14 days or something like that, and their pitchers ran out of gas.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Who figures it's not going to rain in the spring in Illinois?
In Illinois, yeah. Well, that's what happened. That's what happened.
Thought turkeys could fly.
Well, Well, what happened there, though, Tim, a lot of games early in the year did get rained out and got pushed towards the last week of the season, I think. And after, like, the county tournament, you head into the first part of May, you had, conference games virtually three nights a week plus a couple of makeup dates. So, it's possible where you could be playing upwards of maybe 14, 15 games in a two-week, two-week span.
And there's a lot more strategy that goes into it now, guys. You think about conference games, and now with with pitch count limits, are you even going to want to pitch your top guys in non-conference games?
Probably not. I wouldn't.
What about the county tournament?
Well, that's a county tournament, though. That's kind
I
of.
I mean, but that's.
But that that goes towards.
That's true.
When you're playing two games in a day.
Uh-huh.
I tell you, is that rule in there? Like, if someone throws a certain number of pitches in game one, can they come back in game two? Because it's the same day.
I don't know about the specifics of that rule, but I would imagine that it's a running total for the day.
Yeah, for
so
the
if
day,
you threw 50.
Probably for a 24-hour period.
Yeah.
And then,
starts
over, so.
So maybe not affecting the county tournament that much.
Mother Nature's the only thing that affects the county tournament. Will they actually play it?
Yeah.
And the fact you get locked in the restroom once in a while.
Well, that's been known to happen. You get locked in restrooms at the county tournament, I get locked in restrooms at the county basketball.
Unfortunately, I watched MacGyver and we got out, so.
Thank goodness. You'd still be in there otherwise.
Thank goodness for that saw. Knocking the teeth out of that door jam there.
We've had a pretty good run of a number of county tournaments played in a row. I don't remember the last one.
Well,
year
you
it was
just
canceled.
Threw the jinx on that.
I know. this year. 2017 will be the next time it's canceled.
That's right. That's right.
This is the thing that you pointed out, Tim, though, it's good to see that the IHSA has taken this step now, because, you know, too many, and how, you know, when we're listening to the Cardinal baseball broadcast and stuff, and we hear, you know, John Rooney and Mike Shannon, these guys talk about pitchers and how the young pitchers, you know, pitchers at the high school level even are having Tommy John surgery. This is probably a step in the right direction.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you can't argue against this on any level using common sense.
Yeah, right,
you know, you
right.
can maybe have an issue with the number mm-hmm. or the different ranges and the numbers that they saw, but no one can with the right mind say, oh, there should be no pitch counts.
And the number could change. I mean, they could lower the number, they could increase the number, whatever. This is just a starting point, so. You know, and I think it's kudos to the IHSA.
Bionic arms. Just bionic arms.
I think
yeah.
we call those things pitching machines, Dave.
Okay.
This is WSMI Sports Saturday on FM 106. We need to get to a break. We're back with more in a moment.
9:34 on this Saturday morning, and we return to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Girls high school basketball on the docket for tonight. As of now, Hillsboro at Litchfield, live at 7:30 here on FM 106. We'll stream it at WSMIRadio.com. And Terry, you'll have the call of that mm-hmm. ball game tonight. It's at Litchfield, at Simmons. There'll be a big crowd on hand despite
yeah,
the weather. I would
sure.
imagine it's Hillsboro mm-hmm. and Litchfield. But talking about two of the premier players in the area with Sammy Matouche and Abby Brockmeyer.
Well, and you know, Sammy's only a sophomore, Abby's a senior, different points in their career, but still two dynamic ball players. Abby, you know, closing in on the Litchfield scoring record.
And you've got
has been wonderful to watch over the last 4 years, 3.5 years.
And you've got a conversation with Ann Plume Gontrell.
Yes, we reached out and we're going to have an interview with Ann Plume Gontrell, and we'll have that for next week's Sports Saturday show. And Ann, of course, was the post player on the mid teams from the mid '80s when the Litchfield Lady Panthers really put girls basketball on the map in mid Illinois. They had that great team that went undefeated in the regular season, was ranked number one in the state, went to the quarterfinals in the state basketball tournament, had such a great run there. And you know, really kind of opened everybody's eyes that, hey, they can play girls can play basketball and play it very well.
And she played with the boys' ball.
And you played with the boys' ball, and you had no three-point line back then, too. So it was a little bit different type of ball game. Yeah, it was and for people who don't understand, the girls' basketball is a little bit smaller now, and easier to handle for the young ladies. But back then, it was just the regulation size basketball.
Two of the top three scorers in Litchfield girls' basketball history were on that team. Now, what used to be, 3 weeks ago, it was the top two scorers. Mm-hmm. Now it's two of the top three.
Mm-hmm. You know, at the start of the year, we were talking about Abby Brockmeyer and, you know, where she was going to wind up on the career scoring list, not only at Litchfield, but in Montgomery County. In Montgomery County, I would put the history of girls basketball in Montgomery County up against any county in the state ever. When you talk about the elite players, the Litchfield teams of the 80s, obviously the Molly McDowell teams of the 90s, the Hope Schulte-led teams earlier, would have been last decade, I guess, but those are elite players, elite teams.
Well, and you know, the two teams that won back-to-back for Nokomis, you got to go back a couple of previous years prior to that. Those teams were just as good. I'm just telling you that right now. They were absolutely terrific teams when you had Sarah Hitchings, Ryan Danner, and those kids. They were terrific team. They ran into a T-Town team and, you know, two great teams battled out. T-Town happened to beat them, but I think those teams were, you know, just terrific. And it's been a lot of great teams, Southwestern teams, you know, the Gillespie and Carlinville finished fourth in the state in 1980, you know. We've had that I like to talk about the Route 16 mm-hmm. corridor. Boy, we have been blessed around here, but really, you know, the team that really kind of put everybody woke everybody up, I think, was Litchfield, because they had such a outstanding record, dominating presence in mid Illinois, and you know, we're going to catch up with Ann, who was one of the great players and really one of the terrific young ladies on that team.
Yeah, I mean, I would put the history of Montgomery County basketball up against any county in the state. I really would.
We've had some boy, if you take them all the way back to even to the junior high level for some of these teams, we've watched some really great players come along and just, you know, give us thrills and chills and just watch some great basketball. So.
That team also had one of the most lopsided games in history.
Well, yeah, we
don't. It lives in infamy.
Yeah, it lives, yeah. That was a blowout of major proportions and not to bring embarrassment to anybody where we won't go any further than that, but needless to say, it was one of those games going. It was a blowout game, And maybe we'll talk about it another time, so.
But coming into the year, we knew Abby Brockmeyer was going to score a boatload of points. Well, I don't know that any of us thought that she would be able to catch Venetia Waterman for the career scoring lead in the county. I'm not so sure now.
The pace that she's had this season, there's a chance. She may not get there, but, I mean, there's at least a chance.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's going to be very tough. Because somewhere along the line, you're going to have a night where you're not going to shoot well. It just happens to everybody.
But that's what makes Abby so different, though. If she's not shooting well, she can go down inside.
That's true. And she's kind of a different type of player than what we're used to. So, yeah, there's an outside chance she could catch Venetia Waterman, who's got 2,200-plus points.
2,384,
I think is what
it
is.
Yeah, almost 2,400 points. Yeah. So,
if she averages about 26 points per game, she might catch.
That's an awful lot of points to average.
I think she's about 23 or 24 per game right now.
You know, and just to up your average 3 or 4 points a game.
That's a lot.
That's an awful lot of points. Yeah. I mean,
those aren't official numbers, by the way. So, I'm spitballing here.
But, you know, the thing that could be a factor in that is they're going to be in 3A.
Sure.
So how many postseason games will she get?
Well, the thing about, and I go back to last year in the 3A tournament, I thought they were pretty competitive in the 3A tournament, to be honest with you. I I think Abby Brockmeyer was probably amongst the best, if not the best player in that 3A regional. And I really thought Litchfield, you know, given another night, they could have been playing for a regional championship, to be honest with you. I just thought that they could compete. And on the other hand, we have Sammy Matouche, who's a sophomore, who's just, happened to see her at the eighth grade level, who's just absolutely dynamic, especially at the eighth grade, state basketball term. We had two point guards that were just going at it back and forth and back and forth. One of the most fun games to broadcast, as the Dragons, won their second state championship, winning both in seventh and eighth grade. So, two different players, two different points of their career. And of course, the Litchfield team is built around Abby, the Hillsborough team built around Sammy, but not really necessarily built around Sammy. Sammy's kind of the quarterback of things out there, and she has to initiate a lot of other things for the Hilltoppers. But there are times she better score.
when they need a bucket, they're calling on Sammy.
Yeah.
The luxury that Hillsborough has is I'm not saying it's a slight Litchfield at all, but they've got a Denzel Moore.
Yeah.
They got a Maddie Miller.
Yeah.
So I mean, they've got other really good options that can take some pressure off of Sammy.
And here you go. You know, Greenville beats Hillsborough. Carlinville beats Greenville.
That, huh?
Great win. And 2 weeks ago I said Carlinville's going to surprise people, and I'm telling you right now, Carlinville girls, not a bad basketball team by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's great for the conference race. I mean, this is going to be a fun year for the South Central Conference in the girls race, and even, I think, even on the boys side, to be honest with you.
But the girls side of the South Central Conference has been so good for so many years.
Yeah.
Of course, Southwestern had their run of dominance. They're down a little bit this year, but lo and behold, their junior high team is coming.
And I'm going to tell you right now, by the end of the season, you're not going to want to play Southwestern.
Probably not.
Now, they may not be the super powerhouse that maybe we've seen in the past, but you're still not going to want to play them.
Still tough.
Are you kidding me? We got to face these guys in the first game.
Well, the thing about Southwestern always was you have to beat them.
Yes.
They're not going to give you the game.
That's right.
You got to go out and you got to take
it.
They're
going to be physical. They're going to be in your face. And, you know, they're slowly but surely getting better and better and better. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun year. So, but tonight, and I love the fact that the Litchfield-Hillsborough games are on Saturday nights. You know, one in December, the last Saturday of January, they play at Hillsborough. And this is kind of like the Saturday night shootouts. And, it's always great crowds.
What was the thought process behind that?
I don't know, but don't change it. You know, I think
don't overthink it.
It works. I think it's good for the area. It's good for the county, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, a couple of years ago, there was a boys Hillsborough Litchfield basketball game on a Saturday afternoon. I don't know if that was scheduled or if it was postponed.
It might have been a rescheduled.
That was also pretty fun.
So, I personally like to see Saturday games. Going back when the old Mid-State Conference was around. Back when I first started, Mid-State Conference played their conference games on Friday and Saturday nights. And I always thought that was kind of neat.
Well, we like the girls boys doubleheaders. How cool would it be? They do it for football, like when Cronville comes to Hillsborough for football or vice versa. Yeah. They'll play their freshman game before the varsity game just for travel. How cool would it be if like Hillsborough and Litchfield, not for travel, just for a pure entertainment value, had the boys and the girls games all on the same Saturday, start with the JV, roll into the varsity, and just have a full day of Hillsborough-Litchfield basketball.
You know, I kind of like to see every school have a girls-boys varsity on one night. I just think it's
neat.
You know, it's really neat. And you don't necessarily have to play the girls game first,
no.
I'm saying.
No, that's right.
You know, you could play it second. But I just think it's really neat to showcase this talent in front of good crowds. And like you said, Tim, if you start early in the afternoon, well, everybody gets a chance to see all the kids play.
Absolutely. And, what a fun day.
Oh, yeah. A great day of basketball.
As Uncle Ralph used to say, where are you going to get better value for your buck than that?
And Uncle Ralph, you can't argue with that. That's for darn sure. And, you know, it's the your local kids, you know, representing your local communities. It doesn't cost you an arm and a leg.
Nope. Couple of sawbucks
and, you know, bag of popcorn and away you go.
There you go. Got that popcorn. But you have to have a pork burger if you go to a football game. You have to have popcorn when you go to a basketball game. You just do.
And maybe a bag of M&Ms.
Been known to happen. We didn't get to a
And you, here. You with Mr. Blue M&Ms over here, you know.
They are the best, Terry.
They are the best.
Okay. We didn't get to a break on Sports Saturday. Back with more in a moment.
9:48 on this Saturday morning, we return to Sports Saturday and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Of course, a complete list of all cancellations into our studios available on our website, WSMIRadio.com.
Well, if we have basketball tonight, it's Hillsborough at Litchfield. And Monday night, we'll have Gillespie at Litchfield and girls basketball. And then Tuesday night, Nokomis at Litchfield and boys basketball. And the Illini today against BYU. And, of course, the bragging rights game is coming up on Wednesday.
And how far that has fallen.
Oh, my gosh. Remember when that used to be?
That was the standalone primetime game.
Yeah.
Now it's in the middle of the afternoon, basically.
Yeah. That's
too bad.
Yeah.
It is. It speaks of the fortunes of Illinois-Missouri basketball.
Big time. And Missouri more so than Illinois. Mm-hmm. Like we know Illinois, we focus more on them for obvious reasons. They have fallen off. Mizzou dropped off a cliff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, they're almost Mike like Anderson to embarrassing
left.
Status.
When Mike Anderson left, they really took a hit. And then Frank Haith, obviously.
That was a terrible hire.
Oh. Frank Haith, yeah.
Oh, terrible.
And then he abandoned Mizzou with the recruiting stuff going on. So.
Hence why it was a terrible hire. I remember at the time thinking, why would they hire that guy? He was a bum in Miami.
I remember you saying that. Yes, I can. Yeah. Yeah.
They got what they deserved in that situation.
There was talk, I believe they wanted to go after Matt Painter at Purdue, didn't they?
They tried.
Yeah.
And he was smart enough to say, yeah, I don't think so. I like Purdue.
Painter does a great job at Purdue.
Great coach.
He does, but there was a couple years after that, where they could have gone after him again because at the time you had Butler and Indiana, who were at the top of their game base, and Indiana State, who were all taking recruits from Purdue. So it was like, well, maybe Matt Painter's time to go is now that there are three other premier schools in Indiana.
But, you know, I like the fact that Matt Painter stayed at Purdue. You don't see a lot of that anymore in college athletics specifically, where guys are so often looking for the next job to take that leap. I like the fact that he's going a little bit old school, and he's building the program.
Building the program.
It's part of the Gene Cady coaching tree,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We talk about it all the time for junior high sports on into high school sports, even starting back at the rec league level, you know, trying to put a program in place so that you're successful all the way through high school ranks. The same goes for college. You have to have consistency with the coaching staff, with the program itself, the type of kids that you're able to recruit. And for Matt Painter to do what he's done at Purdue, it's terrific.
I don't know if he's part of the Gene Katie coaching tree necessarily.
I thought he was under.
Bruce Weber was. I don't know if
yeah,
he actually ever
was
under.
Too.
Was he? Okay, I'm not sure on that.
I think he was. I think they were both under him at the same time.
I'll believe you.
I've
learned
wrong.
Not
I
to
know.
Doubt David.
I could
That's
be
true.
I question David.
He's our R&D department.
He really is the R&D department.
Yeah.
I questioned David on Abby Brockmeyer's point total at the start of the year. I should not have.
No.
He was right.
That's right.
Well, I'm a nerd, so I like to do that stuff. I like numbers.
He's our numbers guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So speaking of numbers, David, mm-hmm. you were gone here during the Dexter Fowler signing.
Yes, I was. Yeah.
5 years, $82.5 million. Thoughts?
That is a very good deal considering what I was afraid it was going to become.
I thought it could have been north of 100.
That's what I thought whenever they were announcing, well, it's going to be significant numbers. And I knew he had an offer, I believe it was from the Blue Jays, that was 4 years at $60 million. I think the Cardinals' initial offer was around the same thing, and there were reports that were coming out that were significant numbers offered in the Dexter Fowler contract that he signed. I was like, is that going to be 5 or 6 years at $100 million? But 82.5 is very good for Dexter Fowler. He is 31, I think, which that's the only downside. And you're talking about a player who typically does not play more than 140 games a year. He does have a bit of injury history.
He's playing for Mike Matheny now, though. He'll play 165.
He'll see a lot of DL time, I'm afraid. That'll be his tenure in St. Louis. But he's there for more than being a center fielder. He's there for the clubhouse as well. Now it appears that he's going to be the leadoff guy instead of Matt Carpenter, so if Carpenter can focus on learning to hit lower in the order. I don't know if Carpenter's going to hit second or third. You would think he's going to hit third, but there are some people who say he needs to hit second and not third.
I don't know if he can go wrong with either one.
I don't think so. And I think the Cardinals obviously knew their need, what they needed. But I think it's helped by a lot of the talk and the written material concerning the fact that, you know, the crowds near the end of last year dropped off precipitously, and if you want to continue to draw 3.5 million people through the turnstiles, you're going to have to put a good product out there, because the Cubs are the world champions now, and they play in the same division you do, so you're going to have some...
That appears to be going on across the board in sports, the crowd thinning, because it's happening a lot around professional sports. You see a lot of empty seats.
Well, it's just so darn expensive.
It is. It's becoming a problem.
It costs a lot of money to go see a ball game, and I guess the Cubs jacked up their ticket prices. I was reading an article. A family of four, if they want to go to a game, have decent seats at Wrigley Field next year, they're going to have to drop like $500. By the time tickets and, hot dogs and, different stuff, $500 to go see one game.
I still want to know if they're going to bust the poles back out, bring the poles back out, and put the championship flags.
Well, they better. They got one to fly now.
Yeah. Are they too rusted? They're going to build some new poles.
I saw the story yesterday, and I heard you read it this morning on the sports. Aroldis Chapman comes out and says that Joe Maddon misused him in the playoffs. And I read some of his quotes. He's not wrong, because his big beef was pitching the ninth inning up 7 in game 6.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense at the time. Still doesn't make sense now.
No, it didn't. It didn't.
Almost cost him the World Series.
Almost.
When he blew it in game 7.
And can you imagine if the Indians, if it wouldn't have rained, the Cubs would have lost. I firmly believe that. The Indians had all the momentum after tying in the ninth inning, then the heavens opened up and it rained, and we all know what happened. Hayward gave the best $184 million speech ever. But that's neither here nor there. They're lucky that it rained because they won. But can you imagine? Joe Maddon would have found out quickly how fast you can go from saint to bum in the city of Chicago. Mm-hmm. He would have gotten lit up if they would have blown that. Because it would have been real easy to point out, why did you pitch him up 7 runs in the ninth inning?
Yeah.
Why? Knowing that you got game 7 the next day.
Yeah.
He didn't trust anybody else. That's all
Clearly
there was
not.
To it.
Mm.
And there was he didn't trust anybody. He had Lester. He'd already pitched Lester before he'd pitched anybody in the anybody from the bullpen, I believe.
And you're exactly right. And I've never understood that about baseball managers. They get into the playoffs and they just push away the bullpen guys that were there for the whole year, and they start running starters out there when they're not, starters are starters.
Yeah.
They're starters.
It's a bit different with Game 7 because all hands are on deck.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you see it all the time in the playoffs where they take the starter, put him in the bullpen, and then expect him to come out and be the same guy.
Well, and that's been kind of the complaint about baseball, where you play a certain way all season long, and except for the last month when you expand the rosters, and then you play a completely different set of type of game for the playoffs, whether it's the best of five, which is really wacky, and then you go into a best of seven. And, you know, I'd like to personally see him do away with that best of five and make it a best of seven.
It'd be nice.
I think it would be a plus for Major League Baseball. And the expanding of the rosters, to me, it would make sense to do it. If you're going to do it in the September, that's fine, but you probably ought to do it first month of the season
as well.
Would make
a little more sense.
Yeah.
But they got so many off days scheduled in that first month, too.
They discussed a roster expansion.
Well, but you're always pushed, you know, so far back into November now with the World Series. Forget the days off early on.
I think they abandoned the roster expansion, the CBA,
they
at this point because they were dangerously close to having a lockout.
And that wouldn't have been good. I would have liked to have seen no 40-man rosters in September and maybe a 26-man roster for the normal roster.
Well, there was talk of basically doing it kind of like hockey has healthy scratches and basketball has healthy scratches. Basically, you could put your four starting pitchers who are not pitching you could make them inactive and still have, you know,
oh, that's interesting. That would be an interesting concept to have,
It would be you'd have a 26-man roster essentially with four more inactives, so a 30-man roster, four inactives.
I like that.
Because you would add one more player.
Yeah.
You know, that would kind of change the look of baseball and especially the strategy.
Mm-hmm. Big time. Yeah. But, you know, you're talking about the difference between the regular season and the postseason. Yeah. You know, it's like a marathon sprinter for 6 months, and then, he got to be a sprinter now for the last month.
Yeah. Got to have that kick.
Got to have that kick. And you got to build your team a certain way. Like, there's been a lot of years recently where the Cardinals, in my opinion, have been built better for the playoffs than necessarily built for the regular season. And it's worked out. You won a couple of world championships in those circumstances.
Whereas the Cubs last year were just loaded.
They were just good. They were built for a marathon, a sprint. They could have been in the heptathlon, canoeing.
They were just good for javelin.
You were talking about playoff expansion, too. I also like Theo's idea of making the wild card best two out of three and making it a doubleheader, that first two games a doubleheader, and the third game is the next day. So that way you're basically wasting three pitchers if you go three games.
That is intriguing because
it is.
The nice thing about the way they do it now, and this would do it even more so, is it puts a premium on winning the division. You don't want anything to do with that wild card.
And you know, in Major League Baseball, they've taken one item away from the foul pole syndrome and made sure that the team with the best record in baseball gets to host the World Series.
Hallelujah.
They got it right.
So we can take that off the foul pole.
Turns out all it was Bud Selig needed to step away.
Or the Cubs needed to make the World Series, win 100 games, and not
there
have home field.
That's...
Either
what it was all about,
either
right there. That's what
but
it was
it's
all
done
about.
Now.
It's done now.
It's done now.
Yes.
Bud Selig's reason for that was always so stupid, too. Well, we got to get our hotels reserved.
Yeah.
You're Major League Baseball. You say we need 12 floors of the hotel. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want 13?
Somebody's going to turn that business down? I don't
Why
think
didn't
so.
That benefit the Cardinals in 04? They had to do last-minute hotels, and it didn't work out.
Because St. Louis is not Chicago, David.
I know.
That's right.
Hey, for a complete list of all cancellations, visit our website, WSMIRadio.com. As of now, Hillsboro-Litchfield girls still a go tonight. We'll have it live at 7:30 here on FM 106. We'll stream it at WSMIRadio.com. For David Jenkins, Terry Tote, I'm Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. Be careful out on the roads today across Mid-Illinois.